All right, it's time for part two of our theme message, Winning the Battle for Christ. And one of our gifted communicators, Pastor Jack Kinley from Phoenix City, Alabama, will be giving our message, and Jack will be telling us how we are all winners.
Thank you, David. You know, we could almost just say amen after all that good singing. Thank you, Vivian, and thank you, choir. And thank you, each one of you, for the good singing you did tonight, too. And Beth, thank you for leading us in singing tonight. Beth, you know, you were talking about the ways to pray. Let me share something with you. Come back to my mind when you were talking about it. In one of the churches that I pastored, the Rolling Creek Baptist Church in Stonewall, Mississippi, we had a lady there, her name was Maudie Williams. She was just really a character about things. And I was talking about one day about places to go for prayer, and I named off a bunch of different places, and she came up to me after the service, and she said, "Preacher, I bet you there's nobody that prays where I pray." I said, "Well, Maudie, where do you normally pray?" She says, "I usually send the kids off to school, get Liddell off to work, and then I get over my dishes and look out my window, and I wash dishes and pray." Now, you ladies, I don't think you really want to wash dishes and pray. Or maybe you need to pray you wish these dishes would just disappear. But that just came back to mind to me tonight whenever you were mentioned when you were talking about that. And it's strange how things like that come back to mind to you, isn't it, when you hear things. Thank you for letting me speak to you tonight. I really count it a great privilege to be able to be here and to speak to you because you are very special in my life. You always have been. Well, you have been for 40 years.
Wow.
My wife and I, my wife Gwen, who's now at home with the Lord, and she's been there 14 years, and some of you knew Gwen. We came to our first NCCB meeting in 1977.
Wow.
I haven't missed any. She had to miss one during that period of time before she got sick. And it was when her mother was very critically ill. But anyway, it's just good to be with you, my family, because you are my family.
Amen.
You're my National Church Conference of the Blind Brothers and Sisters in Christ, and I appreciate each one of you. Thank you. Tonight, I want us to think about the theme that we have here, and I think mine was entitled, and let me see, what did David do with my, there it is, there. This mic is on?
Yes.
Okay. I'll put this one back. There are only winners in the family of God. And you know something? Let me just go away from that just a minute. And let me just say a word about winners. Over my lifetime, and especially in the last few years, I think our nation as a whole has the wrong idea of what real winners are.
That's right.
I get so sick and tired of hearing about this football team or that football team, winning and this football team or that football team losing, or this baseball team or that baseball team, and so forth and so on, and other sports also. And I've heard even amongst my brothers and sisters in Christ, some of them almost get to a fight with one another because of one team winning and the other one losing. And if you live in Alabama, it's just a mess. Because they feel like that nobody can beat Alabama. They can be beat.
Yes, they can. They were beat.
Any team can be beat. I don't care what team it is. But I think in our nation, in my lifetime, and I'm 89 years old now. In my lifetime, I think we as a nation have become sports crazy. I really do.
Yep.
And if you win 9 games out of 10, you're a loser. You've got to win 10 out of 10, or 11 out of 11, or 12 out of 12 to be a winner. No, 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 no. If I'm on a team and that team is in a good conference and we win, 8 or 9 games out of 10 or 11, I think we're winners, don't you?
Yeah.
And I think we have the wrong idea of what winning is all about. Let's get away from that now. The real winners in our nation today are people that are yours and my brothers and sisters in Christ.
Amen.
We are the winners. We who have given our lives to the Lord Jesus Christ, and He is our personal Lord and Savior, we are winners.
Amen.
And the people who haven't given their lives to Jesus, they're losers, but we need to reach them to become winners. You know, I one passage of scripture that I have always loved, and I want to read it to you, and I know you know it, but I still want to read it to you, and I'm reading it to you out of the Holman Bible. I love it because of what it says in just a few words. And of course, the words are a little bit different here in the Holman than they are in the King James. But it's the 12th chapter of the book of Romans, beginning with verse 1. And it says, "Therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, I urge you to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy, pleasing unto God. This is your spiritual worshiper. This is your spiritual sacrifice." And he goes on to say, "Do not be conformed to this age or to the world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may discern what is good and pleasing and perfect in the eyes of God."
That's right.
That's right.
Now there is a winning statement.
Amen.
Amen.
Paul said, and you and I need to let it penetrate into our hearts and our minds. Paul said that if you are going to be what God wants you to be, you have got to forget the world and the age we live in, and you can't be conformed to this world or to this age. You've got to be transformed by the will of God. You've got to be transformed You've got to be a person who loves Jesus Christ as your personal Savior.
Amen.
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 Help us, Lord.
And if you love Christ as your personal Savior, you are a winner. If you don't love the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, if you haven't given your life to Jesus Christ, you are a loser.
Amen.
And you're going to end up in an eternal and everlasting burning fiery hell.
That's right.
That's just point blank gospel.
That's right.
Now, Paul didn't say that, but I'm saying it because the Bible says it.
That's the word.
Do you remember the night that Jesus was out by himself and all of a sudden a man by the name of Nicodemus came to him?
Yes.
Nicodemus was a brilliant man.
Yes.
He was well schooled. He knew the Old Testament from Genesis 1 to the end of the Old Testament. He knew every law that the Jewish people had put into effect. He was a man of letters, so to speak. And he came by night unto Jesus. Mm-hmm. And he says, how can a man be born again? Can he go back into his mother's womb and be born again? And Jesus says, no, you must be born of the Spirit. You know, people who even are educated in religious things, and people who claim to be proclaimers of the gospel and teachers of the Bible, if they have not given their lives to Jesus Christ, they don't need to be teaching the Bible. And if they call themselves scholars and they don't teach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, they're not scholars as far as I'm concerned.
That's right.
Amen.
Hadn't
thought about that.
They're ignorant.
But anyway, I just wanted to kind of throw that in before we look at the scriptures that we're supposed to look at tonight. But you know something, stop and think about it, my brothers and sisters in Christ. And I hope that every one of you are a brother or sister in Christ.
Yes, Lord Jesus.
Because you're a winner if you are.
Amen.
But we need to think about what the Bible says, and we need to let it penetrate our hearts and our minds, and we need to pay attention to what people say and what people have said, and we need to realize who the real winners are. You know, when I look back at the people in the Old Testament, I think about people, you know, like Abraham and Sarah, and I think about Isaac and Jacob, and I think about people like, you know, Moses and Joshua and Caleb. They were winners. They were people that were looking forward to the coming of the Messiah. They were looking forward to what God's Word said about the coming of a Messiah, and they looked forward to that. So they were winners. And then I think about people like Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And I think about people like Peter and Paul and Barnabas and Silas. And they were winners because they believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. And they honored him and they preached him and they praised him and they worshiped him.
Yes.
Because he was their Lord and their Savior.
Amen.
And the Bible tells us about people like that. And then the Bible says, the scriptures that we're looking at tonight,
The Bible says here, and I just want to read to you what it says in this version of the Bible, because that's where I want to come to you from. In verse 4, and I want you to listen to this. It says, but each person should examine himself. Now listen to what it's saying. It's saying that you and I, we need to examine ourselves as winners in Christ. And we need to examine ourselves, is what the scripture says here. Each person should examine himself and his own work. Now, he's not talking about the work you do as a carpenter or an electrician or whatever it might be. He's saying you need to examine yourself as far as the work you're doing for the Lord. You need to examine yourself as to how faithful you are to the Lord. You need to examine yourself as to how well you represent the Lord in the world that we live in today. Because you're a winner if you have given your life to Jesus. Think about that for a minute. And think about your life. I only know the people I know, and I know myself. And I examine myself. And you know I fall short a lot of times. Do you?
Oh, yeah.
Sure you do. Because Jesus said that we're going to fall short. But then we've got to come back. And we've got to ask him to forgive us. And then we've got to not fall short in that way again. We're supposed to be people that we examine ourselves, not the other fellow.
Right.
You know, I can say here, Bruce, you've done so-and-so. And I'm looking at Bruce, and I don't have no right to do that. I'm not going to tell all I know about you. But you know, I'm supposed to examine Jack Kinlan.
Right, that's right.
You've got a perfect brother.
No. But stop and think about it now, my brothers and sisters in Christ. How many times do you examine yourself? How many times do you examine yourself in every way and say, am I really doing what God wants me to do? Am I a good representative of the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you do that? You know, I had a friend of mine back several years ago, and he said, Brother Jack, I used to get up every morning and look in the mirror, and I looked at myself and I said, you're a miserable failure as far as the Lord. And he used to say that a lot. But I think he was a man who examined himself in the eyes of God, mm-hmm. and that's the way he felt. And he was trying to make his life be what it ought to be in the eyes of the Lord Jesus Christ every day as he lived. He was never going to get perfect. You're not perfect.
No.
If you are, please leave the room. I'm not perfect. Nobody up here is perfect. We're all imperfect. And we won't be perfect until we get home to be with the Lord.
Amen. Right, man. Absolutely.
So the Bible here says, and Paul was saying to the people in his day, he was saying, examine yourselves. And he says, but each one of you, each person should examine his own self and his own work, and then he will have a reason for boasting or speaking about himself alone. And it goes on to say, and he will not, and not in respect of someone else. In other words, examine yourself and don't worry about the other fellow. It's up to him to examine himself.
That's right.
The other Christians, you know, it's up to them to examine themselves. Now, that doesn't mean you shouldn't help them if you see a need to help them, but don't criticize them and condemn them. Go to them, put your arm around them, and say, I want to help you. And we need to examine ourselves first before we do that. Because we don't want to go to someone and say, I want to help you, and then they turn around and have some things that they have against us too. So what the Bible here is saying, what Paul is saying, this is important, to examine yourself. You know, let me just share this with you. Because you're not in the realm that I'm in as far as being a retired pastor. I had a young pastor call me up, probably, it's probably been 6 months ago. It was back before the first of the year. He says, Brother Jack, can I come and talk to you for a few minutes sometime the next day or two? I said, yeah, you can come by today. So he came by. He told me about some situations that he was trying to straighten out within his congregation. We talked about that. And I would share that with you. But he said, Brother Jack, I'm not what I ought to be. He says, when I think about myself and I'm trying to help my people and I'm not what I ought to be, what do I do about that? I says, you talk to the Lord about it. And I says, I'll be glad to pray with you about it. He says, that's the main reason I came. And I said, now, his name's Jim. I said, now, Jim, I'm not in any way perfect or not in any way any better than you are as far as the Lord is concerned. But I've been in the ministry for a long time, and I think I can help you, and I'll be glad to do that. But we'll only do it in the light of what the Lord tells us to do. So let's sit down, look at the Word of God, and let's see what the Spirit of God will do in this situation. And the Spirit of the Lord worked for that. Because we called upon him. And Jim had to examine himself, and he was worried about himself. And I was kind of concerned about him too when I heard about what all was going on. But it got worked out because we went to the Lord in prayer. And he examined himself, and I examined myself, and we all that was involved in it examined ourselves, and the situation got straightened out.
Praise God.
All right.
But you got to do that. And that's what Paul is saying here. He's saying, examine yourselves, and then you'll have reason to be able to do what you're supposed to do. All right, after he says, examine yourselves, he says here, also, he says, for also each person should have to carry his own load. Now, we want to carry our brother's load if we possibly can. But we all have loads that we need to carry. And we need to take care of our loads before we try to take care of other people's loads. Don't we?
Yes. Help
us. Amen?
Help us.
So, we need to carry our own loads. We need to carry them to the Lord, because Jesus says, come unto me, all you that are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And we need to go to him and take our loads to him and let him straighten them out, or let him to give us the strength to straighten them out, or the way to straighten them out. And then if somebody else has a load, one of our brothers and sisters in Christ, we need to help them. We need to help one another. We don't need to criticize one another. We don't need to condemn one another. We don't need to look down our nose at one another. We need to help one another, don't we? And I remember way back when I was first in the pastorate, and I'm going back to about 1959. There was a man in the city of Columbus, and I had just been ordained and called to a small country church about 30 miles away. And there was a man in Columbus, his name was Leslie Williams, Dr. Leslie Williams. He was the director of missions for the Columbus Baptist Association. And before I went down to take that church and to give, I had already given him an answer I would come. But before I went down there to be pastor, I went over, called Dr. Leslie Williams, and I said, Dr. Leslie, I said, I need some help from you. You're a man of God. I know that you know what God, you're close to God in the sense of the word of being a very, very wonderful pastor and minister as far as director of missions was concerned. And I said, I just need to come and sit down and talk with you. So I went over there, sat down, and we got to talking. And I asked him some questions. He answered them for me. I asked him some more questions. He answered them for me. I asked him some more questions. He asked them for me. And he gave me some of the best advice I have ever received in my life. And before we left there, he says, now, Brother Jack, we've got to have prayer together about this new, about this church that you've been called to. And he says, let's get down on our knees, let's have prayer, and we're going to stay here and pray as long as we need to. We stayed there and prayed for about an hour. And when we got up, he says, if you need me, I'm here. If you need me in the middle of the night, I'm here. If you need me anytime, I'm here. Because I'm the servant of God, as a director of missions, and if you need my help, that's the reason I'm here. And he gave me some very, very good advice that is still important to me this day. So that's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to carry our own load. But we're also supposed to carry the loads of others, and we're supposed to seek the help that is available for us. Out of God's word, out of God's servants, out of God's people that are really in touch with God. We need to do that, don't we? Amen?
Amen.
Now notice what he says. One other thing here that I want to mention to you. He says, the one who is taught the message must share his goods with the teacher. Who's the master teacher?
Jesus.
Okay. We're supposed to share with the Lord the good things of life. We're supposed to let it. He knows them already, but we're still supposed to say, thank you, Lord. We're supposed to give him thanks. That's our payment for what he does for us. Thanking him and doing what he wants us to do. He's the teacher, isn't he?
Amen.
Of course, we ought to help the other teachers that we have. Because we have good Sunday school teachers, we have good pastors, we have good directors of missions, we have good missionaries, and we need to thank God for them because they teach us and they help us. And we need to help them when they have need of help. We need to pray for them. We need to share our goods with them. And that's what Paul is saying here. He's saying if you're a winner and you are a person who loves the Lord and that makes you a winner and you have other brothers and sisters in Christ that are winners, and he's saying that we all are winners and we need to help one another. You know, I hate to hear, and some of you in here are ordained ministers, and they'll tell you the same thing. But I hate to hear another pastor or another preacher downgrading or beating down his fellow minister. And Brother Ben and Brother Mike, you've heard that happen. I know you have. Brother Enoch, you have too. And that's not what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to build them up. We're supposed to help them. Just like Christians are not supposed to beat their brothers and sisters in Christ down, you're supposed to help them. You're supposed to build them up. You're supposed to really be what you receive a message through them, and they are the teacher, and you are the student, but you're supposed to help. So we need to be people that we truly, truly help those that have taught us. Not just our pastors, not just our ministers of missions, not just our missionaries, but Sunday school teachers. And people that have worked with you women in the women's work. People that have worked with you men in the brothers' work, in the brotherhoods. We need to help one another. And therefore, because we are all winners through the Lord Jesus Christ, we ought to be winners in helping one another. Amen?
Amen.
I think that's what this is all about. I really do. And I think Paul, looking over how he taught, he wanted all those who he taught to help him. And they did, didn't they? They sent food to him, they sent help to him, they sent people to him to take messages to him back and forth when he was in prison and so forth. And Paul was wanting people to help him, but he also said, don't forget the teacher. And he didn't want to be forgotten. And I don't think any of us want to be forgotten. So we need to be people that we share the goods with the teacher. And then one other thing, and then I'll close. I want to thank each one of you. Some of you are new and I just got to know you last year. And I want to thank each one of you because you are teachers for me. And I hope I'm a teacher for you. But we all need to be learners from one another. And we need to try to help one another in every way we can, according to what the gospel has to say. So let me go back to what I started with. We cannot spend more time in doing things that the world wants us to do. We need to be transformed. Not doing what the world wants us to do, but we need to be transformed and be doing what Christ wants us to do. And that's what it's all about, brothers and sisters in Christ. That's the most important thing. Amen?
Amen.
Thank you.
Oh, thank you so much, Pastor Jack. Yeah, that is so much to think about. Well, unless anyone has anything that they need that needs to be brought to our attention, I think we can adjourn for tonight. And remember, tour 8 a.m. sharp, and don't come here at 10:30 because you'll be worshiping all by yourself. Okay, everybody. Good night.